Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. We welcome you to this program. It is our spiritual breakfast 7 to 9, and from 8:30 to 9, especially on a Tuesday, then we have our guest and host at other times as well. That is Hazrat Mulana Musa Lahir, Damat Barakatuhu. Let's welcome Mulana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana, jazakallah khair for having us once again.
Jazakumullah khair and for joining us, Mulana. How is everything on your side?
Alhamdulillah, we've been having some beautiful rains here for a change. You know, normally this time of the year, Cape Town doesn't see any rain whatsoever. Everything turns brown and wintry-like. But alhamdulillah, last night we had some rains and it looks like it's still coming today.
Alhamdulillah. Makes me think, there's two occasions which we always wish for rain. One is on the occasion of Diwali and the other is on New Year's, so that we don't have to go through all that pain of those crackers and everything. So that is, I'm just thinking about those two situations where we make, even our children, they're making dua, Ya Allah, please let the rain come down on these crackers so that we don't have to witness it. Mulana,
Carry on.
No, so I'm saying there, it's matrix, most matrix are done now and entering into this, what they call the happy season, the festive season, and you see all of this here. We were driving the other day, my daughter said, already they're putting up all these things of Christmas and all of this. So I said, yeah, they're preparing the minds of people for all of this, the coming and everything. And our students of Deen, we should say, they are lost. What should they do? How should they spend their time? And then we'll get to the topic Mulana wants to speak on, inshallah.
Mulana, this is an important topic, and this was actually something that Allah Ta'ala seems to have put in both our hearts and minds. coincidentally, we have a Jamaat in our Musalla here in Panorama from Azadville.
Gee.
And if I can say, there are about 7-8 elders, you know, all white beards, mashallah, in that Jamaat, and maybe just four people without white beards.
Gee.
Part and parcel of this Jamaat is Amir Sahab. You know, everyone knows him as Amir Sahab of Azadville. He's also in the Jamaat.
Masha.
So last night after the Talim, I was giving them a little bit of Kalguzari of Cape Town and, you know, the challenges we have in the Maktab and, you know, just a basic thing.
Gee.
So Amir Sahab mentioned to me, he said, Maulana, I remember so many years ago when I came to Azadville, then nobody, you know, basically, Mulana, what I was speaking about, the hadith that they had read is that, I'm giving you the gist of the meaning, when a person hears the adhan and doesn't respond to the masjid for salah or jamaat, then this is a sign of nifaq. This is a sign of nifaq. So I told them, I said, see, in Azadville, when I started studying, there were three masajid, Darul Uloom, Jamia Masjid, and Masjid Taqwa.
Gee.
Now Masjid Ansar has also opened up over the last, I don't know what, 10, 15 years ago already. So you all have the opportunity of listening to four different azans at different times. Obviously, Maghrib azan will all be the same. You have the opportunity of listening to four different azans in different intervals. And then I told them, my family and I have been living now in Cape Town for 1.5 years. And she can't remember when was the last time she heard adhan here. So such a great ni'mat, such a great bounty that we take for granted, you know. Alhamdulillah, me as the men folk, We still hear the adhan because we are in the musalla, we're in the masjid, etc. So we hear the adhan. But there's no adhan that's given on loudspeakers or, you know, I remember, and every time I still visit Azadville, the moment the azan goes, now everybody starts preparing the first azan. Although there's different times, but the first azan goes, everyone starts now wudu, getting ready for salah. Here, you depend entirely on your watch on your hand. Because you're not going to get any reminder. You're not going to get any adhan that is going to be heard in your home, per se.
True.
So, Amir Sahab was mentioning that, you know, many, many years ago, he can still remember that before these masajid were even established and that day, he used to go to the youth.
True.
And he used to ask them, right now, when you're going for 40 days, so that person will say, hey, you know, the da excuses like normal.
True.
And then he'll say, okay, no, no, December. So he write December on his paper. And then he goes to the next person. When you want to go, you say, no, February. Another person. He say, like that day, he continued making effort from 0 40-day jamaats to 40 40-day jamaats a year. So,
Alhamdulillah.
You know, it just takes a little bit of himmat, a little bit of effort, a little bit of sacrifice. And this is what I want to tell the youth, that you know what, you have a 6 week, actually it's longer than 6 weeks because exams are finished now, right? I think there's very few schools that are finishing off this week examinations. So what are you going to do with your time? How much PlayStation, how much Xbox, how much sport, how much of swimming, how much of other activities are you going to do during the holiday? If we just take out some time, 3 days, 5 days, 10 days, whatever it is, you know, and go and spend it productively in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how happy will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become with us?
100%.
So this is the message, Maulana, you know. I think a lot of effort has to be made on the youth. And if we do that, inshallah, then we'll see some good, good results with the youth also. And you'll see changes in the home. You know, mashallah, the effort of Dawat and Tabligh is an effort that is the most accepted effort of khidmat of deen around the globe. Around the globe. And this is an irrefutable statement. Tabligh, mashallah, has borne fruits throughout the globe. So we have to start encouraging our teenage boys that they must also learn to spend some time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It teaches them a lot of responsibility. You know, every morning you're going to get up, you're going to make your bed or your sleeping bag, if I can call it that day. You'll have to wash your own clothes. You'll have to prepare meals, those that are on khidmat. So it teaches you a lot of skill also at the same time. And there's a lot of khair and barakat and noor sitting in the ta'aleem every single day, you know, going out, meeting people. When you meet people, that's when you learn also how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ni'mat are. You know, yesterday, Mawlana, we went for Gersh. Allah ta'ala took us through his fadl, karam and ihsan.
True.
But we went to visit one person, and obviously he's new in the panorama area, maybe about 2 months or so. So after we met him, I asked him that, but any of your neighbors here Muslim? So he told me, no, my next door neighbor is Muslim. He gave the name, and then he said, I'm not sure, maybe about 3-4 doors away, I think they're Muslim, but we haven't met yet. Now this is the thing with Cape Town, is that people don't visit one another. So you won't know. You know, everybody's locked up in their palaces, if I can call it that. And nobody wants to know anybody and things like that there. So, you know, you don't get to even know who is Muslim living on your street. It's not like Lanesia, Azadville, mashallah, where everybody knows everybody. This is the whole different ballgame. And I'm seeing that this trait is being introduced even in Johannesburg. So people that are moving to the northern suburbs.
True, true.
You know, Maulana, I have a very close friend of mine. And all his life he stayed in Mayfair, around the corner from Masjid. And then obviously when Mayfair started going down, then he decided that he's going to move to the Houghton area. So I used to joke with him. I used to tell him, "Bhai, don't become like, you know, you forgot us." And that is the reality now, is that you find that they have become so engrossed in their day-to-day lives that they don't come out of that safe zone, if I can call it that. They don't come out at all. They are stuck there. They don't know neighbors. They don't know people. And people are comfortable with the type of lives that they lead. The only social type of life they have is probably when they're in the masjid and they get to meet people. But again, there are so many people now living in complexes, in apartments, in these type of environments, that to access those places is almost impossible. You can't access those places, and it becomes very difficult to go and meet people. So you won't know, you know, for instance, in Houghton, there's that Houghton Golf Course Estate or whatever it's called. You cannot enter there without the security protocols and that. So now imagine if a Jamaat comes. A Jamaat cannot just go and go to the security and say, no, we've come to meet all the Muslims. They'll never allow you. They'll never allow you. Yesterday, one of the homes we tried to, or one of the estates we tried to enter was an estate just up the road from me. And again, they refused to let me in because you need a PIN code and all of those things. And I'm told that there are so many Muslims living in this estate. Now, how do you gain access to them? How do you get to know who they are, where they're from? You know, it's a very difficult situation for the Ummah. So if we are not going to make effort on our youth, then eventually we are going to lose our youth. As it is, we become social media idols, that we are stuck on the phone the whole time. Now we're not meeting with real people. We are not conversing with people. We are not spending time with people. We're not renewing our iman. What is going to be the condition 10 years from now?
We'll be conversing with robots and interacting with them, because they're giving us probably what we want. And the answers someone sent, I'm not sure if we discussed it previously, Mulana, but someone sent Sheikh AI. So you ask Sheikh AI and they give you the answers that you're looking for. So
absolutely,
it's just going to turn towards that. And even then, what's going to happen to our youth when you speak to them? I'm not even speaking about youth, but we're speaking about 23, 24. We speak to them about marriage. They like, what are you talking about? We still got 7 years, or another eight, 9 years. We're gonna enjoy. They don't say this, but they're enjoying free accommodation, free food, whatever income they're getting, because probably they're working. That's to contribute to all their leisures. So, as Mulana has mentioned, to get this objective right, we have to go in the path of Allah. We ourselves, it affected us so much, and then you get some purpose. It's amazing how this effort works, Mulana. I was just speaking to a brother from Bedford View, and he said that he was amongst the third, he's a family member, he was about the third family to move into Bedford View at that particular time when there was no Muslims. He says now his gush used to take place from his house, and they would only have two salahs that would be performed with Jamaat. So that would be on a Monday and a Thursday. So because of that gush, they would come in, Maghrib would, and Isha would be performed with Jamaat. So he says now there's a Jamaat Khana, now they already got the third plot, and they put in, make it, they just on the mission to making it a masjid inshallah soon. And there's, I asked him like for Jumu'ah, how many people come about? He said over 300 and more. And so this is increasing. So that start, like Mulana is probably facing that currently, where that initial start, that courage that you need and all of that, that's something that is admirable. if we have it, and we're for our youth who are just neglecting these responsibilities and just pushing it aside because we're just giving time for more leisure. And what you can do in your youth, you can't do it later in life, because then you have family responsibilities, all of this. So it's an important point Mulana has mentioned. And other aspects, Mulana, what else can our youth focus on?
Mulana, the main thing is abstinence from guna, abstinence from sin. However, the reality is, when does a person fall into sin? When a person is in ghaflat. If a person, for instance, is sitting and making Allah, Allah, for instance, right, in dhikr, in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the chances of that person falling into guna, falling into sin, will be very, very slim. But the moment our minds become idle and forgetful of our Rabb and our Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when the problem sets in. That's when the issue comes about, where a person can very, very quickly fall into sin. So this whole, you know, they call it festive season, I call it crazy season. It's a silly season. This whole thing is designed, actually, to create ghaflat in the minds of everybody. Forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're on holiday. Relax. Take it easy. You don't need to be so stringent and what have you. That's what they're propagating. So the more they will propagate that, then the more a person will forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the more a person can fall into sin. So that is why it's important to remember. You know, our late Sheikh Zamoyan Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he always used to say this, is that a person will be in the masjid, kurta, dari, tasbih, zikr, tilawat, you know, maybe doing some gush, maybe attached to some sheikh or something, that is here. But when they go overseas, then it's a totally different person. Now we feel ashamed to wear the sunnah libas of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Maybe that person was eating on the floor the whole time. Now you are overseas, so now you have to eat on a table and chair. You're not using your fingers, you're using that steel equipment to put food into your mouth. So a lot of things create this ghaflat, and a person tends to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and very quickly you get sucked into this whole thing, and a person can fall into guna. Now, Maulana, we all know Ramadan is literally around the corner already. You know, from the time it's 100 days or something, you start seeing these countdowns, you know.
Gee.
People put it now 90, I don't know how many days left, but anyway, I believe it's less than 100 days, right? So, imagine now, we're still in November, right? If people are going for holiday around the mid-December region, and then you come back, and then 40 days later is Ramadan, or 30 days later, whatever it is. It takes you time to actually detox from that holiday to become spiritual for Ramadan. And then what's going to happen? Eventually, our Ramadans are even going to go. We've seen this. See, 2010, the ulama spoke about the harms of the World Cup. And there were many, many World Cup matches that were taking place during Taraweeh time.
Gee.
So a lot of people started missing the Taraweeh.
Mm.
Now, take this on the larger scale. What's going to happen? The degeneration of the Ummah is already there. What happens when Ramadan hits December? Are people going to say, no, it's Ramadan, I can't go to Dubai, I can't go to Paris, I can't go to New York, I can't go to whatever Fiji Islands or Finland Islands or whatever, Thailand or all of these places here? No, they're not going to sacrifice their holidays for Ramadan. They're going to end up going. Mm. And they'll say, no, or the excuse, I want to see what the Muslim culture is like there.
Gee.
And that's where we can fall into a lot of ghaflat and a lot of sin. Ramadan is not the time for travel. Gee, when it's an absolute necessity to travel, then now you don't have a choice. But you're making an elected travel itinerary in Ramadan for leisure. That's where the danger is going to come in.
Lana, they will say we're going for Umrah. So but now in the future, Allah make it such where all MBS's plans and whatever he wants to do all crumbles. Inshallah, it will happen. But people will say we're going for Umrah, and then they're going to the line or towards this Neom city. But all of this is exactly how Shaitan has decorated our actions for us. So that prior, as Mulana has mentioned it so aptly, that this is their whole plan. Wherever there's a place or time for spirituality, they will try and they will come on that scene to try and shift your attention away from that. I remember I went with my Honorable Father, this was in 2013, with the help and fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We went for Umrah, and I remember on the way back, so it was the three harams, and then on the way back we stopped at Dubai. So it's 3 days transit, and you think to yourself, we're never going to just come to Dubai just like that, so let's just make the most of it and see what we can do. But not realizing that's exactly what it is there for, to mess up that whatever spirituality you built up, or if you're going before, whatever spirituality you can build up, it's messed up because you've committed so many crimes in and or before that particular period. So as Mulana has mentioned, before Ramadan, now it's all of this trials, tribulations. We have to see how we can stay away from fitna. Important, Mulana. Anything else, Mulana?
So, Maulana, you mentioned Umrah, and people will also divert to all this, Jeddah, Neom City. I think a time is going to come, leave Neom City, leave Jeddah, in Medina Munawara, in Makkah Mukarrama, the way things are going, that fitna will be available there. Already, there are cinemas there, and they, you know, I was shocked a few years ago already, to see Arab women in the shops.
Exactly, gee.
As shopkeepers. That one already shocked me. Like, you don't know how to actually deal with them. You flabbergasted. You know, it's not the norm. And then a shock later was when you get to the hotel, there's a lady there to welcome you. You in Ihram, you in Makkah, you in Ihram, and here she's saying, marhaba, and la 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 la, and taking you to the reception desk and what have you. So these fitnas are going to grow, and if we not going to make an effort on our iman and our yaqeen and our tawakkul and our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then even in Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara, khuda na khasta, a person is going to get cut up in all this nonsense.
Also the way they've promoted woman in all these positions now, from the time you reach the airport, if you want to go from the woman driver there. Now imagine you're alone, if you're traveling alone and you're with a woman driver, and for us South Africans, most youth, they haven't seen what Saudi Arabian, meaning face to face, like Mulana mentioned, we haven't seen Saudi Arabian women because they were always covered up. That was the norm. We haven't seen their faces, their beauty. Now, when you're exposed to such beauty, but it's at the wrong place, and you're not supposed to look at these things in the first place, what's going to happen to us? Are we still going to be able to control ourselves? Shaitan is not going to allow it.
Gee. And that's why, Maulana, what it boils down to at the end of the day is that holiday season, rather spend it in Jamaat, rather spend it at some khanka, rather spend it in some productive thing, building your iman, you know. And Allah Ta'ala keep us safe, Allah Ta'ala keep us protected. But we headed for very turbulent times, very, very turbulent times.
Mulana, just before you leave us, there's many ulama within South Africa especially. And as you were speaking, Mulana was speaking about the adhan, I just thought to myself, Ya Allah, how lucky, how fortunate And this is shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His countless bounties upon us. That we hear all these adhans so many times, but we don't heed, we don't reply, we don't respond. But here the advice to the mulanas, to the ulama out there, what can they do to help and assist, just in a minute or two, mulana, how can they assist to keep the youth engrossed in different things? And that must be Sharia.
Mulana, I think it boils down to going back to our basics. Ulama ikram have to basically make a lot of effort on the youth, and it boils down, it starts from the maktab. You know, the maktab, you might be teaching Ali Ba'tatha, you might be teaching something, you know, every alim wants to teach Sahih al-Bukhari, but who's going to teach Ali Ba'tatha? And in order to get to Sahih al-Bukhari, they have to learn this Ali Ba'tatha. So take it very seriously. Take your time in the maktab very seriously. Recognize it and acknowledge it as an amana, and make effort, strong, concerted effort. My Sheikh Hazamuan Dawood Siddharth Sahab Dawood Bragado, whenever I'm faced with challenges in the students, he always reminds me, Maulana, make dua for your students. Small children, 6, 7 years old, 10 years old, whatever it is. But make dua for them. Make a lot of dua for them. That will help them. So ulama ikram must also try to instill this in our lives. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq.
Ameen, ameen. Jazakumullah khairan. Make dua for us, Mulana. We'll meet you tonight at 8 o'clock with the tasawwuf, inshallah. Topic for tonight, Mulana?
Inshallah. Inshallah, tonight we'll be discussing sabr and hope, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.